Good morning. It's great to be back with you, and Happy New Year to you. I hope and trust that you had a good holiday, a good time with family and friends. And I tell you, I so much appreciate the opportunity that I have with the church family here that you allow us to be gone from you a little while. I'm a little bit bothered, though, just by the fact that I understand from the other elders that y'all canceled services last week because I wasn't here to preach. We have to work on that. I think the snow had a little bit to do with it, but it is good to be back with you, and we just love our church family here so much, and you are our family here, and we so much enjoy being a part of this family. Before we begin our lesson this morning, I have a presentation I need to make. You heard mention in the announcements this morning of our daily Bible readers, and we want to always encourage people to take part of that, be a part of the daily Bible reading program. If you're not familiar with it, there's a notebook on the stand in the back there, right at the door, and in there you get one of the sheets off the table in the foyer, put your name on it, put it in the right place in the notebook, and pick up a sheet for you to take home with you. And each day as you read, check off on your sheet. And when you come back here, Sundays, Wednesdays, whenever you're here, check off in the book to keep up with your reading that you're doing throughout the year. Now we have four people that completed the daily Bible reading again this past year in 2010, and so we have a presentation to give to them. Two of them are not here with us this morning, but we have Nancy and Judy, and also Rick and Sandy. All four of them read through the Bible last year. I think that Judy, how many times did you and Nancy read? Only twice this year? Only twice, okay. But I want to encourage you, and as we go more and more on prayer, and we talk about prayer more and more, then you're going to hopefully see how much more important the Scriptures are to us in our prayer lives. And we're going to talk some in our study we're going to do on praying the Scriptures. And so I want to encourage you to do that. This morning I've got some gifts here to give to them. Rick, if you'll come up here and let me give you that. And we'll get another one for Sandy there too. And let me see. Let me make sure I gave you the right one. This is for you. And would y'all give this to Judy? I mean to Nancy, please. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really, really excited about this new year. I really am, because of what we're looking at doing, what we're focusing on, what our emphasis that we're really placing right now on our prayer life. We're going to be focusing on prayer in our worship time here Sunday mornings, and then Sunday evenings we're going to be doing some things. I'll tell you more about that in a few moments. But I want to start out this morning by telling you that as we're studying prayer, I want you to understand we're not going to be just looking at the Scriptures to see what does the Bible tell us about praying, okay? We're going to be focusing on praying, okay? And looking at the Scriptures as a guide to help us to learn how to pray. You know, there's one of the things that Jesus' disciples asked him to do for them. There were really, if you go through the Scriptures and you look at it, there were really very few things that the disciples ever really asked Jesus to do for them. Okay? They asked him a lot of questions about his teachings and things like that, but when it came to them asking him to do something for them, there were really very few things. And one of the things that they asked him to do was to teach them how to pray. Okay? And that's what we're going to be doing here, is learning how to pray, learning the importance of prayer, and learning how to pray, and then looking back and seeing the amazing results of our prayers to Almighty God. Now, we start out this morning in a text, Matthew chapter 12, the text that was read for us. Turning your Bible there for just a moment, Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. We start out there, and we look at this situation, what's taking place here. This is towards the very end of Jesus' ministry, and he goes to the temple, and when he goes there, what he finds is the what's referred to as the money changers. There are people there that are selling, they're selling things. Well, what are they selling? They're selling mostly animals and other items, whether it's grain and so forth. They're selling the items that people needed in order to make their sacrifices in the temple. You see? So basically what's happened is you have people that are living there in the city. They don't have farms. They don't have a lot of land where they can raise sheep and cattle and all those kind of things that were required of them to be able to make sacrifices. So what was kind of set up was those who were able to acquire those things, and the people would buy those, whether it's a sheep or a goat or doves or whatever they needed for a sacrifice, they would buy it from those who had them available. Part of the problem was is that those who were selling had kind of set themselves up right there within the temple courts. And Jesus comes to the temple and he finds them there selling these animals. Well, you say, well, I don't understand what was the problem here. You know, they were supposed to offer the sacrifices. Well, if they didn't have them, where are they supposed to get them? They didn't have to buy them. Yeah, the problem was not necessarily as much in the buying and selling of the animals for the sacrifice. The problem was the loss, listen to me, the loss of the focus, okay, of what they were supposed to be doing. They had completely lost their focus. Now, Jesus, and we're going to go there in just a moment, Jesus quotes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, and he uses that statement that God, through Isaiah, told the people here, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." My house shall be called a house of prayer. See, they had lost the focus that it, for them, the temple was the place that represented to them God's presence amongst them. And God wanted that to be a house of prayer. Now, today, we don't look upon this building in the same way as they did back then. This is not the same thing as the temple that was there in Jerusalem. To them, that was God's presence. To us today, this is just a building. It's just brick and mortar and carpets and chairs, and it's this here for us to use. But what it does represent for us, you see, is that we gather together as God's people to come into fellowship communally with God. And in that respect, though this place of brick and mortar is not a holy place in and of itself, it becomes, in a sense, a holy place because God's holy people are gathered together. Okay? And what God wants for us is to keep ourselves and what it represents holy. And so he wants his house, which is us individually. We are each the temple of the Holy Spirit, are we not? He wants us individually, and he wants us collectively to come to him in prayer, thus keeping his house as a house of prayer. Okay? And so the question then for us, as we're going to be exploring and learning more about prayer and how to pray, is how do we effectively make this a house of prayer? Again, not just this building. We're going to use it for that purpose, okay? And we'll talk. I'm going to share with you some ideas that we have and where we're going to go with this. But it's again, it is us collectively as God's people that we become a house of prayer. Okay? Now, keep that in mind, and let's go over to Isaiah chapter 56, and let's look at the context. What is it that God is saying through the prophet Isaiah to the Israelite people about his house of prayer? And how does that fit in to us today? In Isaiah chapter 56, well, I just lost my place here. Isaiah chapter 56, look beginning in verse 4. Isaiah says, "This is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship Him, and all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant." Look at verse 7. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer." You see, what happens when we lose our focus, as we were talking about a moment ago, what happened with the folks there in Jerusalem, they lost their focus and they had begin to use the house of God for things that it was never intended to be. And so often that's exactly what happens to folks today. We lose our focus and we start using the Lord's house for anything and everything except what He intended for it to be. Here, through the prophet Isaiah, God told the Israelite people and the message to all men, that's us today, right? You see, what does He want for His people? What does He want for those who will obey Him? He wants them to have joy in His house of prayer. Okay? Look at what He says here again. "These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer." You see, so when we keep our focus and we keep our covenant with God, then we find joy in God's house. Okay? We find joy within God's family. That's what God wants us to have. If you look over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, passage that, you know, is very familiar to us, and we talk about it, we quote it all the time, where Paul there tells us not to be anxious about anything, he says, but in everything, through prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Now think about what he's really saying here. Isn't it about joy? Why do we have to be anxious in God's house? What do we have to be anxious for or about when we have a God who is Jehovah God, who can handle anything that we have to face in this world? What do we have to be anxious about? He says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead, bring those things that would bring you anxiety, bring them to the Lord in prayer. And He's got a peace that you can't really understand. It's beyond our understanding, but I'm here to tell you this morning, it works. It's a great peace. You see? It passes all understanding. I don't understand how it works. I just know that it does. And that peace that He has will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that brings us joy rather than anxiety. You see? Because God wants us to find joy in His house of prayer. Well, what else does He want for us? You see, what about this house of prayer that really makes it special? Well, look at the second part of verse 7 here. Okay, He says, "Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for..." Underline this in your Bible, "all nations." Okay? That goes back to the promise that God made to Abraham, doesn't it? You see, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. You see, God intended from the very beginning, God intended that salvation would come to to all men everywhere, not men of any one particular class, any one particular race, any one particular sex or gender, not any one particular nation, but rather for all men everywhere. And he says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all men. Okay? So, therefore, what we need to do is focus on making this house of prayer a house for all people everywhere. Okay? It's not just for us who are here, the privileged few, because, oh yeah, we've got God and they don't. Oh no. Oh no. It's for all men. And our responsibility is not to just sit within these walls and be proud of ourselves because we found Him, but it's rather to take the power of Almighty God out to those who don't have Him so that they can. So they can come into the house of prayer, His house of prayer, and enjoy the blessings that He has in store. Now let me tell you, how are we going to do that? How do we make that happen? Okay. Well, here's some things that the eldership has planned and what the direction that we're going so that you know what we're wanting to do to make this a house of prayer. A house of prayer not just for us but for all nations. Okay. One of the things that we're doing, we've redone our prayer card. Okay, this is it. Y'all can read the front of that back there, can't you? Okay, all right. Actually, there are a bunch of these in a little rack that's hanging on the wall out here in the foyer right next to my office door. Okay, they're like Doritos. Okay, take them, use them, we'll make more. Okay, they are there for you. And the idea behind these prayer cards is a couple of things. Number one is, you see, we got them nice and small, compact. You can take some of them, put them in your pocket. Ladies, you can put them in your purse, even the little tiny ones, okay? And when you're talking to family members or you're talking to friends or coworkers or what have you, and you're discussing some of the struggles, some of the issues that they're having in their life, maybe it's family struggles, maybe it's work problems, maybe it's health, whatever it is, you can take that out and say, you know what? If you would like to, you can fill this out. My church family, we'll pray for you. Okay? And give it to them, ask them to fill it out, and give it back to them. Now, one thing that I want to point out to you is to make sure that if you would, make sure you put your name at the bottom of it. It has on here Edge Hill Contact Person. So that way we know when we get these cards back, we know who to contact to get updates and so forth on that. That's what that's for. Okay? And what we're going to do with these is, first of all, we're going to add these folks to our prayer list, okay? And secondly, we're going to add them to our prayer wall, which is back in the back. There's a string that's across there. We're going to add more as we need them. And these prayer cards are going to be hung on that prayer wall out there as a constant reminder to us of the folks that we are praying for. Okay? Now, the second part of this is our prayer list. And there's going to be a little bit of a change in that from what we've been doing before. Now, you have a prayer list that we have done that's kind of like a bookmark style in your bulletin every week. We put that in there. And that the problem with that is that we just add these people, and there's not enough room on that style to really indicate what are we praying for this person. And after a while, the names kind of all get jumbled together, and we forget why that person's even on there. They're on there for months and months and months, and we kind of lose track of why are we praying for this person? Has God answered their prayers or what? Well, this is going to be a new format. The bookmark style is going to continue to be in the bulletin, except the first week, the first Sunday of every month, there will be one like this that will be put in there that will give not only the name, but it will give the contact person from here at Edge Hill, so we know who to contact about that person, the date that that person was added to our prayer list, and then what the reason is for them to be on the prayer list, a little thing about why are they there. Now, here's what we need from you to help us to make this work. What we're going to do is they're only going to stay on our prayer list for 1 month at a time. Okay? The reason for that is because we don't want to get into where we are with this prayer list. It just goes on and people are on there forever and we forget why they're there. In order for them to continue to be added to the prayer list the following month, we need an update from you. Okay? So you need to contact me. You need to let Suzanne know. Give us what's happening with this person. We need an update. Do they still need to stay on the prayer list? Has God answered their prayer? Let us know that. That's part of what we're doing. We want to know. How has God answered these prayers, you see? And so we want an update. We'll put them back. It's not that we don't want people on the prayer list. We just want to keep up with what's going on and what's happening with folks. So we'll have this in there every month, but we need an update from you. So if you get the prayer list and you go, well, they're not on there. Well, come and let us know what's going on with them, and we'll put them back on the prayer list, you see? But we need an update so we can keep track, because part of this and the encouragement that we get is to know and to see how is God answering our prayers, you see? We have already seen, over this past year especially, we've seen some awesome ways that God has answered prayers. We have placed a tremendous emphasis on prayer here, which we really began last spring, really changing that focus and that emphasis. And God has answered some prayers in some awesome, awesome ways. God promises us through His Word to hear us when we call upon Him. What we need to do, and this is part of what we're going to be learning to do, is to call upon Him in prayer. To ask Him to do what He has promised us to do, what He has promised us that He would do. You see? And part of it is finding out and being able to see how God has answered those prayers. When we get people from over on this side of that wall in the back there, when we get people and prayers are being answered, then what we're going to do is move those cards over to this side, which will give us an indication of the prayers that God has answered to. You see? And we'll be able to see how God is working with us. Now, another thing that we want you to do with these prayer cards, as you talk to your friends and your neighbors or family or whoever, this is an evangelism tool. Okay? Because if somebody comes to you and asks you to pray for them, they've already acknowledged that, you know, hey, you got some contact there with God. Okay? So that gives you the opportunity then to go back to them a week later or 2 weeks or whatever and say, hey, you know, we've been praying for you. How's it going? Tell me what's going on. How has God answered your prayer yet, or what's happening? You see? And to follow up with that and to keep building that relationship with them that, you know, who knows, it could lead to that person wanting to go, you know, I want to know some more about this God that you have that's answering prayers in such an awesome way. Can you tell me more about it? Okay? So we want to encourage you to use it in that kind of a way also. So the third thing that we're doing, and I really want to encourage you to take part of this, and I know that there are issues for some folks that you don't drive at night and it's hard for you to get out. If you need a ride to get here, you let me know. You let one of the elders know. We'll get you here. Okay? Transportation is not a reason for someone not to be here. Okay? And I'm talking specifically about Sunday evenings. Okay? That beginning tonight, over the next at least 6 weeks, it may take us longer depending on how the discussions go and so forth, we have a video series that we're going to be looking at about prayer and our prayer lives and so forth, and we're going to do that and kind of incorporate that video with some discussion and so forth on learning how to pray and what prayer is really all about. If this video is one that the elders watched back in the spring that really, really pricked our hearts and got us really to be focusing more and more on this avenue of prayer that we have. And we want, it's time now for this congregation to be able to experience that and to see it. And that's what we're going to be doing Sunday nights. I really want to encourage you to come back and be a part of that. I'm excited about where this congregation is going and what our focus is. For us, what our goal as an eldership here is for us, more than anything else, to be known throughout this community, throughout this area, as a house of prayer. That's what our goal is. So that when people, you know, as you're talking to folks, they say, well, what church do you go to? Well, we're part of the Edge Hill Church of Christ. Oh, that's a house of prayer. That's what we want to be known as. Okay? And that will happen
the more that we lift up our lives and our struggles and our issues and our joys and our sorrows and our happiness, the more we lift those up before God in prayer, the more that we will become a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. Doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter anything. This is going to be a house of prayer for all people. That's our goal. Okay? And I'm excited just to be able to look at and anticipate what God is going to do with us and through us here. Okay? And I want to encourage you to be a part of as much of that as you possibly can. Right? Maybe there's some things going on in your life that you need some prayer for. Okay? If you look back there on that wall, I think there's three cards on there right now that we've only put those on there. Our prayer list starting out is new because, again, we want some updates. We want to know what's going on. So maybe you have something that you have a need in prayer with. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you're struggling with that you need to bring before God. We want to do that right now. Okay? It may be that there's someone here this morning who's not a Christian and you're ready to become one. But maybe you've come to the point in your life that you're ready to give your life to Christ, to have Him be Lord of your life, and have your sins washed away. As long as your sins are still there, then you're separated from God. But you can have those sins washed away right now. Right now. And become His child. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord, repent of your sins, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that. All you have to do is come up and let me know. Tom is going to come up and lead us in a prayer, and we'll use this as an invitation song. And anyone who needs prayer, anyone who needs encouragement or guidance, whatever it is that you need, now is a great time to come and let us know. Let's stand together and sing.